iniciar.
KUCI.
KUCI. KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed on this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show or other programs on KUCI, please log on to KUCI.org for the latest program schedule.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning here in Irvine. We have guests from across the world this morning for you on Get Notified, the talk show that talks about talking, talks about online talking, and talks about social media. If you love social media and you are addicted to it, this is your show. If you hate social media, don't worry, we love you too. And if you are confused by social media, we're here to clear up the cobwebs and give you actionable advice. It is a show about social media, so you can show us some love online. If you're not following KUCI, you can do so on Twitter at KUCIFM. And you can find us on Instagram as well at KUCIFM. Today we have an international guest. We also have two in-studio guests who are looking at me, a little groggy-eyed, but that's okay. Maybe we've had some coffee, maybe we haven't. And today we're going to talk about social media and how it comes to getting a job, how it comes to recruiting, how as you're out there in the world, we had 8,000 graduates who just graduated. Literally, they've got to go out there and try to figure out how to get a job. And social media can work for you, or can also work against you. And today we've brought in the experts, the influencers, to have an awesome discussion about how you can leverage the online tools to make your job search that much more efficient and effective. So we have Elliot Braun here from InterQuest Group. You can check them out at interquestgroup.com. Elliot Braun, it is the end of the day there. How are you, sir?
It is. I'm doing well, thank you. How are you all?
We are fantastic. We're just starting our day, you're ending yours. And we're really excited that you're staying awake here for us and you are feeding the minds of all of these people here in Orange County and across the world as they're following us. If you are out there and you want to share this with your friends, they can also find us at kuci.org/stream.html. So we're going to be all over the world here with this. Elliot, tell us a little bit about what you do and what is this InterQuest group and how does it have to do with social media?
So InterQuest Group is a company in the UK. We trade on the London Stock Exchange. We're a recruitment firm in the UK. We actually trade in about 11 or 12 sub-companies, each working in an own specific niche, so their own niche market. And the reason we do that is that we become very specialized in our own niche market. So for instance, for myself, I work in InterQuest Analytics. So I'm working very specifically with analytical people, jobs within analytics, and I don't tend to stray too far away from that. If I get a client asking me for something different, I will pass that on to another area within our business that would better suit that. It allows me to really get to know my own market, really get to know the key contributors in the market and the clients that I work with closely on a day-to-day basis. Now, with us being based in the UK, like you said, I'm active in California as well. The analytics piece of our business has actually been so successful within the United Kingdom that we've looked at branching out towards the US. And therefore, we hit ground in New York early 2015. Late last year, we looked at branching out into California as well, and that's the job that I was actually tasked with myself. Social media works a lot for me. It helps me connect with people, especially in California. And like you said, it's a vital part of new graduates gaining themselves great jobs.
And for those people that have graduated a long time ago, or they're in transition, or they're just miserable at their job.
Absolutely. A lot of recruiting is now done on social media. It's such an easy way to find people, to find their skills, to find what they're talking about and how interested they are in the market, and especially in analytics. Social media is a great way for us to find people. And no matter whether you graduated this year, no matter whether you graduated 40 years ago, if you're on social media and you're making noise, we will find you.
I like that. If you're on social media and you're making noise. People out there, if you're just joining us, this is Get Notified. We have Elliot Braun on from from the InterQuest Group all the way from the other side of the world. And we also have two other studio guests here that maybe we'll just kind of bring into the conversation. We have Jeff Gillis. Jeff, you want to say hi real quick?
Greetings.
Greetings. And then we have Mr. David Parker IV. Very official. Speak up there, sir.
In the flesh.
In the flesh. What is amazing is that we have a recent college grad. We have somebody who is a master of the Matrix online, which is Jeff. And then we have you who, you are out of London, and you have this global connection to know that social media is filled with noise, but you're talking about how those people who are looking for a job, you got to get the right type of noise. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, in a nutshell, social media is almost a gateway to connecting people. And you can obviously do this on a variety of platforms. As you all know, you know, you've got your basic Facebook, Twitter. You've got the newer kind of Instagram coming through. I think that's kind of an upcoming social media, especially with the millennials. And then you've got your classic LinkedIn. So there's a variety of different platforms you can use to make noise. And each one of them really does a different job. And that's especially what we find within the recruitment world, that each one of them does a different job, pretty much different to each other.
Now, are they all useful in trying to get a job? Maybe we can talk about some of these platforms, because we do have listeners who are graduates. We have listeners who are looking for jobs. We have people who are maybe happy with their job but want to set themselves up for the future.
Yeah, I would say they're different and use them specifically for different things. Now, in the UK and the US, from my experience, Facebook is a very family and friends networking tool. It's used for your own personal views. You build your profile around you. You connect with your friends, your family. It's a very, you know, it's a very social platform. In terms of work, don't get carried away. We're not going to find you on Facebook, especially from the UK. It's what we found. You know, you find a lot of personal views. That's not what we're looking for. The two main business networking platforms are going to be Twitter and LinkedIn, and LinkedIn more so. Now,
Elliot, let's time out real quick back to the Facebook, because I think this is something to touch on for a moment. Facebook is friends and family. Do people have to be super concerned about how they're presenting themselves on Facebook? Because there's been this murmur in the media that if you are doing things on Facebook, it's going to work against you in the job recruitment.
Reasonably so, yeah. I mean, that's not so much with us in terms of recruiting you, but a lot of agencies, and especially with big jobs in the U.S., they will do background checks on you, and Facebook is the first thing they're going to look at. Now, if you've, you know, shown radicalist views on Facebook, if you've shown, you know, differing views from society, then they may take a negative view to that, especially something that goes against their kind of brand image. If you're seen as someone to go against the company's brand image, they may well turn you down in the hiring process.
Now, what about for college students? And they have this transition, right? Because they're in college, they're maybe not thinking about a job. They've got they're playing beer pong. They're in fraternity sororities. There's crazy pictures. They're at the river. You know, everybody's out and having fun. Is it okay to have that transition? I mean, is that expected by a recruiter? You make a point of extreme views and, you know, things that don't fit for the company culture you're after, which I think is a really good point. But what about just being a good old college kid? Is that something that these students need to be worried about? Or can they make some sort of a transition and the timeline shows a bunch of graduation pictures and then now they get their professional headshots and they're at wine parties instead of keggers? And is it okay to have that organic transition on social?
Absolutely, I think so. I think that, you know, there is an understanding for a college life, and companies will enjoy seeing people's college lives. But at the same time, you know, it's not so much that side of things, but radicalist views. You know, things that it are not affected by college. You know, it's your views on the U.S. and the life in the U.S. and different, you know, other areas, political views maybe, if you're very
extreme in those, then that could be dangerous.
Yeah, if you're very extreme in those views, then that is something that some companies, not all, may turn away from.
Now, for all of you 8,000 plus students here in UC Irvine and around the world, stop deleting the pictures right now. It's okay. You have this transition. I know you all jumped on the computer and you're about to delete all of the beer bong photos, but it sounds like it's okay, but let's make it a transition, right? So
absolutely.
I think an interesting point too is if you're going after a job that's maybe in a marketing capacity or something that has a social element to it, I think that showing yourself as a socialite online could have impact. And a question for you is, how impactful is someone's following crucial for their viability as a candidate? And one example, I have a friend that's a photographer, and he was telling me that the modeling industry is changing because it's really not so much as important of the look and the skill as it is important the following. And so maybe you can speak on that, because these really talented models are maybe losing jobs to people that might have less experience but have way more of an integrated distribution from their followers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I said, social media, gateway to connecting people. And in order to get those connections, you've got to communicate and engage. If you're not communicating good content, then people aren't going to be interested in following you because you're not doing anything for them. You're not feeding them. So you need to, you know, feed them with good, engaging content. And by doing this, you exchange information. But this is only when they become relevant. You only connect with people that are relevant to you and what you are interested in, and they will be interested in back in you. And there's two ways of doing this. It's either to research and get your, you know, get research and publish your own content, or by resharing information. I'm sure we've all heard of retweeting on Twitter, of sharing on LinkedIn, and sharing on Facebook as well. By sharing information that you find elsewhere that you think would be valuable to the network that you're building, it allows you to gain more traction in picking up followers.
Have you heard, Elliot, of the 411 content strategy?
I have not.
Okay, so it slips in my mind exactly who came up with it. You can probably Google that, or if you're out there listening, I'm not trying to take credit for this idea. If I created this idea, it would be the 311, because I count like this: 1, 2, 3, many. It gets confusing past that. But the strategy is, for a content creation standpoint, the idea is that you should retweet or share 4 pieces of content for every 1 piece of original content, for every 1 piece of asking for a call to action of some sorts. So if you are trying to brand yourself as a marketing person, maybe you would find 4 really good marketing articles that you would share. And then for every 4 articles you share, you would come up with 1 original content, like a blog or something. And then at that point, you could also say, hey, go like me on Facebook, or I'm doing this event, come check me out. So that it's not all about, you know, crying wolf and saying, follow me, or come to my event. But it's also haloing you with existing content. So I think it's an interesting strategy. Sometimes people get overwhelmed with content creation. To sit there and create everything yourself is a lot. But what you're sort of verifying is that it's okay to share existing information. And by you sharing it, you're sort of saying, this is something I like. I would create it if I could, but I want to share it, right?
Absolutely, yeah. By sharing it, you're putting your name to it. You're saying, look, I've read this, I enjoy it, I like it, I stand by this. Let me share it to my following and let them have a chance to read it as well. Because remember, you know, if someone, especially in analytics with us, if an analytics group that you're in creates something in a blog, you can share that and allow people that you're connected with that aren't part of that analytics group to see it. So you're actually engaging and helping other people to see content that otherwise they wouldn't be able to see. And by doing that, maybe they like the article that you've shared, they then join that group, and it opens up a whole new load of connections that they can then find.
And I think that brings up a good point about connecting with other people online. And the best way to connect with other people is to engage with them and share and like and comment on their content. From a strategy standpoint, I believe some people just are one-sided, and maybe they think that their content is so great that people are just going to follow. But would you agree with the fact that a big part of social media is that it's a two-way street? You have to like to get likes, you have to comment to get comments, you have to engage to create engagement?
Absolutely. You'll never get many followers if you stand by the original standpoint that you were mentioning there, where I'll create loads of great content and people will just follow me. It just won't happen because people won't find that content unless you are actively liking, sharing, commenting on other people's posts. Then people aren't going to see your content.
Now, there's an ongoing, I would say, discussion, not debate, about the difference between likable content and shareable content. Do you have comments on the difference between those two? Because it is a big difference, really, if you think about it and you get down into the psychology of it. What would you say the difference is between likable content and shareable content? Understanding that something can be both likable and shareable, and that's the golden goose, right?
Yeah, I think a lot can be likable and shareable. I think they share a lot of common ground. For me, you'll put a like to something if you if you've read something, it's not in your sphere. If I'm an analytics person, I've read something completely out of my world, I put a like to it because me sharing it, it doesn't really do for me anything for me professionally. Whereas something that is great, written on analytics, that falls into my world, that is what I do, it's my bread and butter, I will share that, I will like it, because that puts my name to it again.
Right, so you get that halo effect with the things that are within your branding or putting you forward if you're actually sharing it. Because when you're sharing something, it goes in your timeline. So it's something
Absolutely.
That you're held accountable for. And sometimes the more polarized things, whether it's politics or social issues, it's a challenge to put those into your feed because of the point you mentioned earlier about having some of those extreme views. So if you're liking them, you can show support without sort of owning a piece of that content.
Absolutely. And then that's where, again, I go back to the different platforms, and that Facebook is very, you can share your political views on there. You can share friends, family, photos, everything on Facebook. When you come across to the other end of the spectrum, and for me, that's LinkedIn. LinkedIn for me is a very professional networking. You shouldn't be sharing political views on there. You shouldn't be sharing wild photos on there. It is your professional image.
Well, this is a great segue. Let's talk a little bit about LinkedIn. So GTO, which is a grandma timeout, for those of you who are just joining us, you're listening to Get Notified here at KUCI 88.9 FM. We have Elliot Brond on the phone from London, and we have some guests here in studio, and we're talking about social media and how some of the platforms can be used and shouldn't be used in the effort of trying to get a job or trying to get on the radar of recruiters. If we're talking about LinkedIn, and if somebody that's listening has not heard of it before, or they've heard of it, but they just don't understand it, if you were going to explain to your grandma, what is LinkedIn?
I'd say LinkedIn is strictly a business-oriented social networking service platform. It's a social networking platform that is strictly business-oriented, and let's not forget that most of this site's revenue comes from selling the access to its information to recruiters and salespeople.
Okay, so grandma, hopefully you got that. It's a social media platform, and it's social. See, even that, like social platform, right? If you're not familiar with it, it's literally a website, which also can be an application on your phone. And then you literally have a profile, and that has your information on it. Essentially, would you say that it's a virtual resume?
It actually is, yeah. I mean, even now, people are actually not writing resumes and using their LinkedIn profile because it is the most up-to-date version of their working life.
And it's something that the person has control over, and they can update, they have their picture, and
Absolutely.
Then they can connect with other people. And LinkedIn, the name itself, is really about, if I know Jeff and Jeff knows David, then David is a second line in for my communication.
Exactly, and you can connect with Jeff. Once you've connected with Jeff, you can then connect with David because he is a second in line connection for you. And like it says, it's a networking service more than a social media platform. It allows you to network with other business people that would be helpful to you.
So would you recommend that everyone is on LinkedIn, or if you already have a job, should you not do it? You have a lot of students that are now going out into the world. Is one of their first steps for social media getting on LinkedIn?
Absolutely. I would recommend everyone has LinkedIn. And it's funny you mention people that have jobs, because that's one thing that we do very, very carefully at InterQuest. We'll talk about passive candidates, and that might be another one for your GTOs, but the passive candidates are people that are in jobs but not actively looking to move jobs, if that makes sense.
Okay, so Grandma, these are people that are in jobs and they're happy, but they're not actually looking, but somebody like Elliot might find them and be like, wow, this is a great match for another client who's looking for a rock star like that.
Exactly, exactly. These are passive candidates. So they're not looking at the general advertising. If a client puts out a job post saying, we need this person, they're not going to go and find it themselves because they're not looking for it. However, us at InterQuest, we are happy to approach these passive candidates with something if it's right. And now I could say I'm perfectly happy in my job. You know, I get paid $80,000 a year to do my job. If someone comes calling for the exact same job, but they want to pay me $200,000 a year, am I going to turn it down?
Right, that's a good question. So for those of you who are listening and you're not on LinkedIn, even if you're happy with your job, it's still valuable to be on, one, for the networking aspect, but two, because there might be a better offer on the table. Now, if you're an employer, don't get upset at me. Having your employees on LinkedIn isn't going to put them up for just being stolen. It actually can help them from a business standpoint because a lot of business is done on LinkedIn. If you don't have a LinkedIn, you're sort of, aren't you kind of stigmatized that you're linked out, really?
Yeah, and like I said, if you're not LinkedIn as a employer as well as a business, you know, you're not going to find these people that could be rock stars for your company. We find people that are even very close-minded. You put the right opportunity in front of them, and you could find that they are actually happy to move on after all. And that's very, you know, the way that we work at InterQuest. We're not trying to poach people at every single moment. We don't work in the fact that we get an opportunity for someone and we go straight onto LinkedIn and we search and we find people that would be, you know, perfect for that role and we snatch them. We actually work the opposite way. We find the candidates first. Before we even looked at coming to the US, we built a candidate base. We built a strong candidate base of people that have the great skill sets that we're looking for. And by doing that, we built such a great candidate base and we managed such great relationships with these candidates that when we then go to the clients and say, hey, look, we've got a great candidate base, do you need anything? And they say, oh, you know, I need someone in this particular role. In the back of my mind, I've already got 10 people that would be perfect for it. And then it's just about matching the right offer, the right company with the right personnel.
So you're a cyber stalker, a professional
yeah.
cyber stalker. So let's bring in
yeah,
Jeff.
Yeah, in a different way.
Let's bring in Jeff and Dave. Yeah, in the nice, now, Grandma, GTO, a cyber stalker, it's kind of a term that can be jovial. Jovial GTO is sort of joking around. The term is thrown around where let's say that you're going to meet a girl that you're going on a date with, or a girl's going to meet a guy. In conversation, somebody, you know, might say, well, you should probably cyber stalk them first. Like, go and check their Facebook and check their LinkedIn and see what's going on. I'm calling Elliot a cyber stalker in the nicest way. I love you, Elliot.
You know, we're there for the candidate's best interest and
yes.
the client's best interest. We will find the client, and I guarantee it, we will find the client the best candidate for their role. And the reason that I can guarantee that is because I know that we handle great relationships with fantastic clients. And that's something that they will not find by posting out a job posting because of the passive candidates. They're not looking for your jobs because they don't need to. They're happy in their role. But I know that that job's better than the one they're in, but I've already got a great connection with them because I've been speaking to them off and on for the last 6 months just about how their job's going.
And I love the word relationship. And this is for all of you social media haters out there that think that social media is full of fickle relationships and a bunch of humble brags. GTO, humble brags. Do you want to try to explain what a humble brag is, Elliot?
Oof, I'll let you take that one.
A humble brag is when they're like, oh, look at me in my picture with my Ferrari that I just got today. It's a little dirty. I'm upset. Or, yeah, you know, just popping bottles like it's hot at Vegas and, you know, just kind of rubbing in a very humble brag where it comes across as it just breeds jealousy. And I'm not the biggest fan of Facebook because I go on Facebook and then all of a sudden I feel either jealous or sad or angry or something because I see so many people doing sometimes such awesome stuff. And sometimes it can come across wrong. So sometimes social media haters, the humble brag makes people think that social media isn't built for building real relationships. And I think that you just brought up an amazing point, which is social media can create this connection, it can create the visibility, and that's just a part of it. But you're talking about talking with people for 6 months on how they're doing, and I think that's a really good point for people to understand about social media, is it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, and it can be used to really build genuine relationship.
Yeah, and look, the first thing that I like to say to my candidates that I speak to is, look, I may not help you into your next role. I may not help you into the role after that or the one after that. But say we're 6 years down the line, for instance, and you are feeling like you are happy to find a change. You want to change in your working life. And we've had this off and on relationship for the last 6 years, to the point where we're just checking in with each other, seeing how, you know, each other's work and opportunities are going. And you say, hey, look, I'm looking for a move. Have you got anything that might suit? At that point, I might have the perfect opportunity for you and be able to put you into a new role almost instantly because of this relationship and the relationship that we've built. It's not a case, like you said, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's not a case of putting you into your next role and taking, as recruiters would do, taking the commission off of it. That's not how we work in IntoQuest. We don't like to put people into 80% fit roles because it doesn't work. Because in an 80% fit role, in 3 months' time, you're going to be looking for another one. And that's not what we like to do to our clients. So we are very much about putting people into a 100% fit role where they are completely happy and they are going to do the exact job that a client wants them to do.
I love that. Now, Elliot, if people are listening to this going, oh my gosh, I love this guy. I want to be on his radar. How do people get on the radar? Like, I'm going to introduce you to David right here. David, say hello.
Hello.
Nice and loud there. Yes, David Parker IV. How would David, if he's listening to this radio, but he's actually here, how would he get on your radar? Does he reach out to you on LinkedIn?
Honestly, the easiest way for me is going to be LinkedIn. So search me on LinkedIn, Elliot Braund, Elliot, two L's, two T's, Braund, B-R-A-U-N-D. Reach out to me on there. Try and connect with me. I'll connect back with you and just shoot me a message and say, hey, look, I heard you on the radio show. I love the sound of what you're doing. Could you tell me more? And maybe, you know, I'll set up a phone call with you privately and we'll discuss your skills, your skill set, and where you envision yourself. And look, if it's something that I can't help you with, I will be straight up front and say, look, probably not something for me. I might have someone else within IntoQuest that could definitely help you, whether that's across the sea or not. But look, it's worth a chance.
David is getting his phone out right now, and he is reaching out as we speak. I think he's excited. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to Get Notified here at KUCI. Show some love to KUCI online and on their Facebook, on their Instagram, and their Twitter. That's at KUCIFM. You're looking here, listening here with DJ Ryan Foland, although I get a lot of flack for not having an original DJ name, and apparently you're supposed to like hide behind your DJ name. So unofficially, I am DJ Ginger MC, if I'm supposed to hide behind that, right? So hashtag Ginger MC. But you can show me some love out there and connect with me online as well. And I think that a lot of times LinkedIn can be a place where individuals can play recruiter. I pride myself on knowing a lot of people and having a strong network, and that's how David and I met. I know his father, and his father reached out to me on LinkedIn and said, hey, you know, David IV is looking for a job. Do you have any connections? And I knew something that was open at UCI in communications. And our whole interaction was on LinkedIn, like using the messaging system. And right. It was funny. We were going to meet up today, and I was like, I don't even have this guy's cell phone. And that was kind of weird.
It was.
So I sent him my cell phone through LinkedIn. And for all of you out there who have a cell phone and you're like, yes, I'm up to date on my cell phones aren't necessarily the best way to communicate. There's a whole art to communicating online. And Elliot just shared, if you're interested in getting on his radar, reach out to him on LinkedIn. That means search the name and then Elliot's gonna pop up. It is confusing sometimes if there's a bunch of Elliot Braunds. And you can dig a little deeper, and if you know he's associated with IntoQuest, and then you can request to link in. But Elliot, there's stop gaps too, right? Sometimes you have to have the person's email. Mm-hmm. They trick you, they say, do you know Elliot? Like, how do you know him? And if you say, I don't know him, it kind of shuts you down. You're like, sorry, you got to know him.
There has to be a connection.
Yeah. So
yeah, for LinkedIn, for me, the way that I would say to get around that one is hit the I've worked with Elliot before. I've worked with him at InterQuest. That'll shoot me a little message saying, look, this person thinks that they've worked with you before. Is that true? Would you like to connect with them? And usually I'll just hit accept, you know, try and find out where I've worked with them, if that's true, or if not, if they just say, look, I wanted to get connected with you. I like what you're doing. I'd like to, you know, have a conversation with you, then that's fine as well. You know, I'm happy for that.
Now, this is a huge hack that you just shared right now, because a lot of people follow directions and they think, oh, I don't work with him. So what you're saying unofficially, and it's not you saying it, it's my interpretation. If you're trying to connect with somebody and you don't have their email address on LinkedIn, it's not a bad idea, or people aren't going to be upset if you say, yes, I work with them in that spot. But you have a chance to explain yourself in a few characters, or a limit, maybe 300 characters or something, to where you can say,
exactly,
hey, I heard you on the radio show. I don't actually work with you, but I would love to connect or whatnot. That gets you past the gatekeeper.
Exactly.
That's
and
huge.
You know, I'm happy with that, because if someone's going to write a little message to me saying, look, I heard you on the radio show, I just want to have a chat, you always have the chance to unconnect with them. You know, I give everyone a shot. I'm happy to have a conversation with anyone, honestly.
Now, one thing for me personally, I have a lot of people that reach out to me, and I really would prefer if people had customized the message and it just doesn't say the standard, I want to connect with you on LinkedIn. That is probably my biggest piece of advice out there. If you're going to connect with anyone, customize the message that you send. It seems totally disingenuous if you don't. I had an event last night, and a bunch of people reached out, and maybe three or four of them were custom messages, and the other ones were just blank. And I feel closer to those that have the custom message.
Absolutely. We're talking about building a relationship. So if you want to go out to someone with a custom message, it's really not starting a relationship on the best foot.
Yeah, now I want to bring Jeff into the conversation, because he is the guru when it comes to making the spoon disappear online or reappear online. He, from what I understand, and I've worked with him for a little bit and I've known him for a little bit longer, he has such an intelligent way of looking at business analytics and data intelligence. There is just about everything that you do online can be tracked and can be measured. And this is the guy that does that. And earlier we were talking about just this recruitment process, and he said, you know what, Ryan? Putting together a plan of attack to get a job is just like putting together a marketing plan for a business. So I want to introduce Jeff Gills here. He's been sitting here smiling from ear to ear, nodding his head. Maybe he thinks that he's in London with you because the accent's so strong there, Elliot. But Jeff, give us a little background about yourself. And you actually are friends with Elliot, so maybe explain the tie-in. And then give us a little background on yourself and what you think about LinkedIn.
I like your coffee. Thank you.
here at UCI, KUCI, we spare no expense to make sure our guests feel like royalty.
Well, basically, I concur. I 100% agree with everything that Elliot has said. You know, in the context of one's career path, LinkedIn is the go-to place. Family and friends on social media. Social media really is Instagram and Facebook and the like, where it's acceptable to show your dog and your birthday and your children and all that, and that's great. But in terms of a professional online presence, LinkedIn is your online resume, and it's your profile that is speaking to professionals like Elliot that are looking for a niche to fill your next career path. I've been on the radar screen of InterQuest and Elliot, and we're keeping in touch because it's there's knowledge in power, and when you know people that are connected, that can only result in good things. I approach a marketing campaign with some fundamental questions. I ask the client, I say, who is your audience? And it's surprising that many don't know. In context to a job search, the fundamental question is, what do you really want to do? And in identifying that, you then can, the next logical step is, how could I benefit my career by connecting with people on a professional network that could introduce me to the right kind of people, and thus in action.
I love it. We're going to throw David under the bus right now. Okay, so David, you heard that. You're looking for a job. You're a college graduate. Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
I'm sorry for you now because you're out into the real world. What is your market? What do you want? Maybe, Jeff, you can step through this conversation. Pretend that he's a business that's trying to look for his own job. So what would you ask him?
Well, the foundation of any effective campaign, whether it's a professional one or a business marketing campaign, is defining your target market and understanding who's your audience. So in the process of your job campaign, we would normally do this on a whiteboard or a legal pad. But
you can draw on the desk. That's fine.
But you'd want to identify the trajectory of where you want to go. And I would even take a leap step here and then come back step a little bit. Where do you want to be in 3 years? And then maybe a couple of steps back to that would lead to that goal. And in a conversation before the radio show, I happened to learn that David has a background in professional baseball.
Oh, really?
So that's a very interesting element to his career package, because he's got insights in the minor leagues and the major leagues, and I would include that in your pursuit of a professional campaign to market yourself.
Where do you want to be in 3 years?
You know, I have come to terms that kind of reestablishing myself here, and have to start probably at an entry level somewhere. My degree is in advertising and public relations. So ideally, I'd like to combine my experience in the past and in baseball with the education, the bachelor's degree that I just got. Trying to keep an open mind, but you know, it's overwhelming. This is all great information. I hadn't even thought about really going, you know, attracting or trying to attract a recruiter. I thought that was something more that was on you. And this, you don't necessarily, you know, when you're coming out of college, think of that right off the bat. It's just find a job. You don't necessarily think that as a way to do that. But all very good stuff, insightful.
And as Elliot's saying, you know, it's not like if you contact a recruiter that you're going to get a job immediately. Like, I learned a lot here that it's a relationship. Like, imagine he's got something for you 6 years down the line. That's super cool. Now, with baseball background and probably love for sports and advertising, man.
That's my sweet spot.
There could be some really cool things within there.
Yeah.
In business and in life, it's all about relationships and long-term relationships that endure over time. I would tip my hat in Elliot's direction, because I do think that InterQuest, they have an ethic, or they have a culture that is unique in that they do build relationships. There are many recruiters out there that just want to fill a slot.
We work in a very different way, the way that I said, with a relationship. And then you've got headhunters that are finding the perfect candidate for a specific perfect job, but they get the job first.
Love it. Now, I think it would be fun to find out not only what to do, but what not to do. And you've probably seen some major faux pas online. So let's start with what not to do, because we've got David here and we have all these other thousands of students that want to do whatever they can. I mean, when you're out there, you're looking for a job, you're like, I got to get a job. You even are like, I'll just get an entry level. I'll work my way up. But to even get to that point, there's so much competition. There's so much noise. There's 8,000 people that are competing for the same job at the same time. So let's help these people out with what not to do online. And just a little background here at UCI, I am the, hold on a second, Senior Administrator of Social Media and Marketing for the Office of the Vice Provost of Teaching and Learning. And I work with these about 25 different departments on campus, and I want them to think of themselves as having to recruit students in. Again, if a student is looking at the social media of a program or a department on campus, there might be something that turns them off to it. What we want to talk about here, let's come up with three of the top do nots when it comes to branding yourself online if you're looking for a job. And we can stick within the LinkedIn, or we can go outside of that. Maybe we can do a little popcorn. And for the GTO, popcorn is when you're in sixth grade and you're all reading the same book, and then you say something, and you say, popcorn, David. And then he does it and says, popcorn, Jeff. So popcorn, Elliot, what do you think is one of the top things to not do online if you're in the market for a job?
See, this is different for me, because obviously for me, I'm looking for the stuff to do.
Would you prefer that we start with the to do?
Possibly, yeah.
Let's do that then. I'm going to take the piece of popcorn back, and I'm going to give you another piece of popcorn, and let's start with the three things that you should do, that you're looking for, that you're like, oh man, I'm looking for that?
I think differentiation is probably the first one. Making yourself different. You know, I read through the same resumes day in, day out. And having someone that has differentiated themselves, that really makes themselves stand out on their resume, is something that really, you know, something that jumps off the page and you're like, wow, this guy is committed to getting himself in a new job.
So Elliot, I had David chirp in even out of the microphone because it was so secretive, and he said, how do you do that? And it's a really great question. How do you differentiate yourself? The baseball thing might be a good differentiation for David.
Exactly. Everyone has something unique, you know. We're not 8 billion people on a planet that are all the same person. Every person has done something different in their life, and if you've got something that really differentiates yourself, you know, I'm guessing David was Division I baseball over at UCI or something similar, something like that shows, hey, this kid's got commitment. The fact that he's been on a Division I program, he's got commitment to a team. He's got great teamwork. He can work well with others. That's three things straight off of me. Just him saying, I was a baseball player, has given me those three things.
What's interesting is baseball isn't necessarily business, but it can help you in business in these elements of like teamwork. Elliot, would you recommend, whether it's baseball, whether it's hockey, whether it's debate team, whether it's that differentiation, do you weave that into your whole story? Is it part of the summary? Is it part of the resume? Because if you have 8,000 people that are all getting degrees, they all kind of have the same basic qualities. Is the differentiation the fact that on his LinkedIn photo, he's in a suit holding a bat? Or how creative can people get, and how do you weave in the differentiation? Where are the opportunities to weave in baseball?
Yeah, again, LinkedIn, again, for me, I'd say it's strictly professional, so don't go holding things in your profile picture. Keep that to a suit. But even so, on LinkedIn, it will give you a chance for your education. It will give you a chance for activities and societies within those education. And that's stuff that, hey, I look at every time I'm on someone's LinkedIn profile, see where they graduated from, what their degree was, and how that could help them in a position that I may be looking at filling. But also, what activities and societies did they join in? Were they a guy that went to college and didn't join in? Or were they someone that did something, you know, exciting?
Okay, so I have an idea. We're going to do something interesting here. Are you in front of a computer by chance, Elliot?
I am.
We have David. He's going to reach out to you right now. He's going to lie and say that he worked at InterQuest Group, and he's going to get in front of you. And let's do a little audit of his LinkedIn, and maybe you can give some pointers and some tips. Why don't you try to beat him to the punch, too? Maybe you can go on LinkedIn.
I got a couple of points that kind of come back to the conversation here. We kind of spoke of relationships and the importance of relationships. And for someone in a recruiting capacity, all these graduates are coming out with degrees. And as applicants, it's important to remember to weave in, as you say, your personality. What makes you an interesting person? And, you know, the baseball, your personal interests that make you engaging. Why would you want to talk with this person at a coffee shop? And while keeping it professional, of course, it's the same as a marketing campaign. You want to engage with your audience. It is crucial to make a relationship, not just the one thing when you said what not to do.
Yeah.
Don't send out a blanket application to 50 jobs just by clicking submit, 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 submit.
You hear that, everyone? Absolutely. You hear that, anteaters? Do you hear that, world? Do not just send out blast emails of just generic resumes. It's a waste of your time.
It takes time, but you have to make every single cover letter, every single resume suitable to the job description. It's got to be personal. It's got to reflect your personality. And that's how you connect with people. I've had people, when I was in the same situation, where they would write back to me and say, I just want to keep you on my radar screen. I found your cover letter so engaging.
That's great. One of my hacks and tricks, because I have a lot of students that ask me for advice on getting a job, and I say, come in hot. Like I say, come in hot. One of the tricks, which I believe Jeff was alluding to, if you take the job description, they're going to say, we're looking for somebody that's like this, has these type of skills. I say create a PowerPoint, and each of the slides is literally you take those requirements and you change it into the I am a person that does this, almost word for word. And then you show a picture or you have proof or snapshots of it. And if somebody asks for a resume, you know, come in with a resume and a portfolio that's catered to them.
You raise an interesting point. It gets to a technical analytical element,
okay,
but it's germane to this conversation, and that is ATS.
What is ATS? GTO, ATS.
It's the automated software that filters applications online.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay, so if your application doesn't meet the criteria, there's a great chance it won't actually get to the desk of the person that's hiring that job. Exactly what you're saying is taking the time to write a personalized cover letter that is in sync with the job description. It's a personal relationship you're establishing, but you're also getting checked, green check marks on the keywords to make sure that you actually get past the filter.
Leave it to the analytics guy to come in with some germane points. All right, we've got probably a good 5 minutes to do a good 5 minute audit LinkedIn on David Parker. That's David Parker the fourth. Elliot, are you seeing what he's got?
I'm not yet, actually. I can't find an invitation.
Well, why don't you search for David Parker, capital I, capital V.
Let's have a look at what we get.
You're gonna find his dad there as well, but he's what is your dad, the third?
Yes.
Nice. Shout out to David Parker out there. I'm gonna say the word that he's trying me to not say, and that's word. I've adopted the word as part of my brand. Like, I'll actually get people to where I can communicate in just one word because I love simplicity. So if you email me and I want to reply, yes, that sounds like a great idea, I'd love to do it, I'll just say word.
So I've got a graduate of Cal State University, Dominguez Hills.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So let's talk through it. I see you've got the tartan in the background as your background image.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that a little Scottish pride?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Elliot, step us through. If we literally are going to listen to you think as you go through and evaluate, because we want to know what people are looking at when they look at LinkedIn. Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So talk us through it out loud. You have the floor.
Okay. So the tartan background, not a problem. I mean, for me, I use my own companies. They have a personalized background, which is just kind of personal preference, honestly. Now, first thing, profile photo, perfect. In a suit, looks business, looks professional, looks great. One of the your don'ts, please don't leave your photo blank, because it really does kind of diminish that relationship that I build with you straight away. It makes me see an icon rather than seeing your face, and being able to know who I'm talking to is something big for me, and it's big for companies as well. So profile photo is a plus. And for others listening, please never leave your profile photo blank.
On the photo, also, don't crop out you from another photo.
I mean, yeah.
Go, if you are out there and you don't have a professional photo, get a professional photo. Spend a couple $100. It makes the difference in the world. I saw a LinkedIn post with one lady and she said, "Do you like this picture or this picture?" And I was like, "I don't like either picture. Go get a professional headshot." I'm not trying to be mean, but all right, David, you're sharp on that. What else, Elliot?
So the summary looks good, but maybe a little bit more detail there. So a marketing, sales operations, and customer services leader looking to contribute to an organization's objectives. Okay, so it's great. It's personalized. That's fantastic. But maybe give me a little bit more about you. You know, really almost from your resume, maybe, you know, what you do, what you enjoy doing, especially as, like, you're searching for a job. So people are going to come on, and that's really where, that's your sales pitch. This is me. This is what I can do for you. Moving on to the experience. Again, it's good. It's great that you are writing about the companies that you've worked for rather than just having the title. It's always frustrating when people have, for instance, intern, Fast Start Studio, and that's it. They haven't written about it. So big plus on, hey, look, This is what I did at these companies, rather than just, hey, I worked here. Professional
vehicle. It's like we're getting into
that,
the
that's
mind.
Yeah, that's
great.
I mean,
Elliot.
Again, sorry.
You were just mumbling, and I was excited because I'm like, I feel like I'm inside of your head.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just reading.
No, it's good.
With the experience for again listeners and maybe some of you guys there, but again, it's great. It's fantastic if you tell us what you did at those companies, because it's personalizing your your image. Somewhere down to education, and that's great as well. I mean, college, university, that's fantastic. And again, on this profile, you've got the activities and societies that you've been a part of at Dominguez Hills. You know, by putting that on there, and there's one here, scholar, athlete, dean's honor roll. By putting the stuff like that on, it's only positive stuff for me to read. I mean, you're not doing anything negative in any way. By leaving it off, you're not letting me know that, hey, I was on the dean's honors roll, right? That's a good thing. That's a great thing to be on at college. So never leave that stuff out. You know, that is what we're talking about, differentiation. Not everyone at college is on an honor roll. Not everyone at college is a student athlete. That's the differentiation that sometimes people look for. If you're 50-50 with someone else and we really don't know who to employ, that's something that pushes you over the edge.
Well, I think this is awesome, and maybe this can continue offline, but this is another good point. If you have a LinkedIn, why not phone a friend and see if they can give you some feedback on it? Because when you're looking at your own social media, you're blinded by the fact that you're the one that put it on there. So another takeaway here is ask people you know and you respect to see if they would hire you based on your LinkedIn.
So absolutely. And the last one, the skills and endorsements are such a big thing with LinkedIn. Skills and endorsements, if you haven't heard of it, it's basically people endorsing you for being able to do that skill. I'm looking at David here. He's got public speaking, leadership, and social media at the top of there.
Who is it that just recently endorsed him? Do you see that? Do you see some ginger on there that just endorsed him for five different things?
I can't see that yet.
Oh, well, maybe it hasn't traveled all the way to London. Yes, I endorsed
Not
him
yet.
For public speaking, leadership, social media, and marketing. He looked a little timid when I told him that I wanted to be a guest on the show, but he did a great job. Guys, we're out of time, but I feel pumped up. I feel like I'm going to go audit my LinkedIn. And UCI, don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. I love you, Zot, Zot, Zot. Shout out to a couple people real quick. I've got my awesome, excellent boss, Ian, and then Joy, as well as my good buddy, Peter the Anteater. Show him some love online. That's at Peter T. Anteater. And then I've got my buddy, Tony, who's helped me produce this from the outside. And big shout out to Elliot here in London. Awesome. David, was this fun for you?
Yeah. Thanks, Elliot. Appreciate the feedback.
All right. And then Jeff, you're here helping us to dig into the matrix. Maybe we'll have you guys back again soon. You're listening to KUCI. This is Get Notified here with DJ Ginger MC. We will be back every single week here, which is Tuesday at 8 a.m. and Wednesday at 8 a.m. Stick around for the next show. Every show here at KUCI is awesome. If you haven't learned something today, well, we feel sorry for you because you must have tuned in late. We had a guest from London, all the way from London, here to Irvine. We talked about social media platforms and how they relate to your job search. Jeff talked about how a job search is just like a marketing program if you were your own business. We talked about Facebook and how it's okay to have life stories and pictures and college life and family and friends and opinions, but be careful about getting super polarized or having radical views. That might work against you. We then talked about LinkedIn primarily and how you should be on it no matter who you are. Get found on LinkedIn, because if you're not on LinkedIn, you can't get LinkedIn. There's a couple points that we talked about. Having an awesome profile picture that's not cropped out of another picture, but that is a professional headshot. Making sure that in your summary, you talk not only about what you do from a business standpoint, but a little bit about yourself. And the key point is to differentiate. Make sure that you stand out from the crowd. Get your education in there. When you're listing your job experience, don't just put the job. Put the job in a description of what you actually did. That's going to be helpful. We also briefly talked about how there are the skills, and people recommend you for the skills. So it's great to recommend other people. Get recommendations yourself. LinkedIn is essentially your online resume. It is the future of resume, and it is here. So no more one-pagers. Fill out all the information online. Become a rock star with your LinkedIn. You can get connected with people. It's like 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but online in a more professional setting. So we are out of time. We will be back next week. Super pumped. Give some love to KUCI at KUCIFM. Give some love to the Ginger MC. Hashtag Ginger MC. Find me on Twitter and Instagram. Twitter at Ryan Foland. Instagram, yes, you know it, Ryan.Foland, because some other Ryan stole it. But that's okay. Every day, you can tune in for a hand-drawn quote on my Instagram, and I tweet up a storm most of the days, letting you know what I think is tweetable. All right, guys, I'm out of here. We will see you soon, and make sure to call your grandma, because she could benefit from what you learned today. All right, this is DJ Ginger MC out.
Have pity.